We have with us today Mike Brescia. Mike is a very special guy. Your story is fascinating. You went from failing at almost everything you did to living in a vehicle, to being literally, from that point of view, from being where you were at, almost at the bottom, to being on top of every industry you've entered for the last 20 years or so. And now the research company and the website thinkrightnow.com that you've established in 2000 has grown to be the most visited personal development product site on earth. And you're the chief of research of this, yet you started in the sales profession at the bottom. Here's my first question for you, Mike. You've accomplished so much in your life. Is it really true you once lived in a van with a hole in the roof? I know this is a funny question because I only know two guys who've done this, you and one other guy who is also so fantastic. You really did this.
Yeah, you bet I did. And I'm only thankful that it was in Southern California at the time, because instead of snow, I got rain. And when it did rain, I literally had to drive with my right hand holding an umbrella to keep the rain out, and my left hand on the wheel. And I'm just glad that the van I had was an automatic transmission instead of a stick shift, or else I wouldn't have been able to hold the umbrella. And it was interesting. I used to get all kinds of looks, and this was in near Los Angeles area, right on the coast. And nobody had ever seen anything quite like that, I bet.
I can imagine.
And, it had a sunroof. The glass broke, and I couldn't afford to fix it. Even having no expenses at that time and living in the van, I still couldn't afford to fix the roof. And at the time, it was doubly bad because it was, during one stretch, I remember it was about 3 weeks straight, it just rained and poured every day. That old saying, it never rains in Southern California, is really a bunch of malarkey.
Did you ever fix the sunroof?
No, I never did. I sold that van with the sunroof broken like that. I'm sure it detracted from the value a little bit.
That is very interesting, Mike. You certainly had some very challenging times. But here's my other question. You really couldn't keep any job, could you? I mean, what was that like?
Well, the same for a lot of people. I come from, in the industry, you know, we are sort of in the same industry, John, the personal development, personal growth, teaching and training industry. And I think people ask me this all the time, why should I listen to you, or why should I trust you, or what makes you any different? And one of the things, of course, mm-hmm. is that I truly do understand the challenges that people could possibly have. I haven't experienced all the worst things that humanity can rain down on itself, or that people can do to one another, or the horrible emotions that anyone could feel, but I've been in some dark places. And in fact, during high school, I sold Kirby vacuum cleaners. I door to door and cold calling, and I've had the door slammed in my face. And I sold dynamite books over the telephone. Couldn't even do that. Offering people something that was worth thousands of dollars potentially to them for only, I think, $15 at that point, or maybe it was only $10, and I couldn't do that. I worked in a bakery, making donuts and pizzas, and worked a whole lot of other minimum wage jobs, and at the time it was a whole lot less than $5 an hour. It was in the $4 an hour range, and I got fired, John, from every single one of them, most of them within a month.
Oh, my gosh. This was tough, Mike, real tough.
I just had the image of a failure, you know. And mm-hmm. When I moved to California back in 85, I soon enough took another job, telemarketing, and my job was to sell Christmas wreaths to raise money for the local fire department. It was $15, and there was men in trucks that where the back of their trucks were just filled with wreaths, Christmas wreaths, to help your local fire department. I couldn't do that. I couldn't get people to agree to let somebody come over within minutes and deliver a wreath to them. I worked at a car rental agency where half of the time I was simply washing cars. The other period of time I was writing rental agreements. It was a very simple, easy job. One day, this was in California, Saturday night I was out, night of partying, and fell asleep in a parking lot on the beach in Manhattan Beach, California. And I woke up. I was supposed to be at work to open the doors at around 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up in the parking lot of my van, in my van, at noon. And the parking lot was filled with people. The beach was filled with people. The cars, I mean, it was noon on a gorgeous Sunday morning or afternoon. And I just flew to work. And they had to axe the door down to get in because nobody could reach me. I had the only key. And the manager lived about an hour drive away, so we had some problems. I had some problems. I was fired that day. I didn't have to show up for work again. And I just felt that was the way it was going to be for my whole life. I couldn't imagine being any different. I couldn't imagine doing any different or having anything different than I ever did at that moment in time. It was definitely a low point.
Yeah, I would imagine that too if I had to go through that sort of thing. And why do you think that is for most people? And why was it that way for you, Mike?
Well, there's a couple different things. In every area of life, we have natural talents and we have natural inabilities. Everyone has their own unique talents. And it's the nature versus nurture question. I've become a professional at watching people now over the last 20 years because I'd like to know what it is that people do that makes them good or successful at something and what the differences are in people who are not good or successful at the same thing. And I've seen even babies where some babies are action-oriented. They're go, 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 go. They're on their hands and knees, and you have to really keep your eye on them or else they'll go do something where they could injure themselves. And there's other kids who are just as content to sit there and watch TV or sit there and play with a doll or a toy and not move for hours. So there's certainly some innate talents and abilities that people have. And the other side of that, though, is the nurture, the society and the caregivers and the teachers and the trainers that we all have over the course of our lives. You know, what good trainers and what good teachers did we have, and what bad teachers and trainers, you know. And unfortunately, most of us don't have very good teachers and trainers, or if we do, there's really not many of them in our lives that help to guide somebody to great achievement and great success and great happiness in life. And I remember, now of course he was correct, but I remember one of my teachers, this was in high school, I was in 12th grade at the time, he was my English teacher and a public speaking teacher, and after a particularly bad speech that I was supposed to give, where I wasn't prepared at all, he just got fed up with me, and he said, he told me, "You are the laziest student I have ever had." And actually, John, the whole statement was, "In my 20 years of teaching, you're the laziest student I've ever had." So it was even worse. And I know he was right. And it wasn't the first time I'd been told those kind of things, but for some reason, I just never forget that because I liked him. I thought he was a pretty good guy, but as far as that goes. But he wasn't somebody that I was close to. I was used to hearing that from people that knew me really well. He only saw me in school, and he was telling me this. And
this set you off thinking a little, huh?
It didn't change anything about me, really. I didn't turn my life around for another 6 years after that. But it's definitely something never forgot. And to further answer your question, people, all of us, we are, especially today, so programmed by just hundreds and hundreds of different messages all around us, all day long, all week long, for our whole lives. Our parents, we must hear no from the time we're 6 months old or less to the time we're 18, millions of times. No, no, no. And oftentimes it's a whole lot worse than just no. Beating, verbal abuse, sexual abuse. People grow up in the most horrific environments that are definitely not conducive to success and happiness and accomplishment in life. Their neighborhoods, drugs, alcohol, the media. We see death on TV. We pay for it. We go to the movies to watch death and horror.
Yeah.
Now it's war and terrorists and prejudices all around us. We turn the news on and one country wants to blow another one off the face of the earth. And they're not shy about saying that that's what their goal is. And this is, and we're supposed to have happy, productive, successful lives. And of course, now back again, it goes down to the nature. You know, if you are naturally inclined to success or to being an accomplished person, you can put that out of your mind. But most people can't.
Yeah.
Most of us are affected by this, and we just say, "Well, why? Why bother? Why try?" Because, you know, the old saying, "Life. What is it? Life sucks, and then you die."
Yeah, I remember that one. Yep.
I just don't think that way anymore. So I had to pause and say, "What was that phrase?" Oh yeah. But most of the people that I grew up with, I used to hear that all the time, and that's their mantra. You know, life sucks and then you die.
Yeah.
And we get it on TV and commercials. If it's not coming at us in real life, we see it on TV and radio. The fast food and the restaurants and the toys, we're told we can't live without it. You got to have it. You got to eat this candy and drink this soft drink and you'll get the hot, you know, the dates and you'll have a social life. And your life will just be great if you can just drink this drink and eat this food.
Now, isn't that the same thing you find in the self-development world? Get this mantra, get that, do this, do that, breathe this way, and it'll all be fine.
And it would all work because it's positive, it's powerful stuff, it's empowering. But unfortunately, the average person comes into listening to the tapes or reading the books or the videos or going to seminars or the patches, powders, and pills and in therapy, and they're not ready. They're not ready to hear this message. I have clients who have spent tens of thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars over just a few years' time, who have told me they still are unhappy and they can't make their life work. Their relationships are bad and they perform terribly at work and in their career and they're broke in every way, financially, spiritually, physically. And they have every reason in the world why they think that this is the way it's got to be and because they haven't changed how they think and what they think about.
Huh.
You know, a lot of people grew up, and you know it's bad when even people, John, and you counsel all kinds of people like this, they grew up rich, in rich families, wealthy, with every opportunity that they could ever have, money given to them, jobs given to them. But the thing that they're missing is the ability. They just have never had to try real hard. Somebody who was born with, to use an old phrase, screen star looks, beautiful people. They've always, not all, but many people who were won the genetic lottery, they have always had it relatively lucky, things given to them. It's a well-known fact that in the job market, the more attractive person is generally going to get the job. So you have to have the ability.
Oh, is that why, Mike, that I never got any jobs? I'm kidding. Okay.
You know, the in the presidential races up until recently, the taller man always wins, historically, through time. So our physical body, there's a lot of reasons for success that have nothing to do with us and with what's inside. And unless you've been tested, unless you've been challenged, and unless you've had failures in life, you cannot win. So it's not just, oh, I don't have any opportunities. I'm broke. I'm poor. I don't have good clothes. I grew up in the wrong place. I was born in the wrong country at the wrong time. It's not just those people who find it challenging. It's the rich and the wealthy and the beautiful too. Mm-hmm. And where is that? It's in our minds. It's our mental patterns. It's our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitudes that direct where we go in life, not what we've been given and the luck that we've had before we were born.
Well, you certainly covered most of humanity in this with the problems they have. Somebody has all of them, and everybody has some of them. Wow, that's a lot of stuff, Mike, to overcome in our minds. So what can be done about it?
Well, what I've learned and what I have discovered first in my own life and then working with just thousands and thousands of people all over the world is that no matter where you are, you can get to where you want to go.
That certainly brings in a lot of hope there.
And everyone should have hope. Mission, my goal, really, my mission in life is to help people gain a firm footing on where they are and how they feel and what they're able to do, and to literally empower people so much that they can in turn do the same for others. And how that can happen, how every single one of us can turn into a positive force in the life, is to learn the successful, happy, productive thoughts that happy, successful, and productive people think. And this is true in the sales environment. This is true if you want to become organized, if you want to be an achiever, if you want to be a motivated person who just, when they set their sights on something, they go until they succeed. You need to think the right thoughts. If you want to be thin and trim and healthy and fit, if you want to be happy, you want to be fearless, if you want to be good in school or your career, if you want to feel worthy of any reward that life could possibly give you, you need to just think the right thoughts. Wow, okay, well, that lets me out, right? Okay. Well, what I discovered back when in 1987 when I was living in the van, and the continuation of that story is I really didn't have anywhere else to go. I had few friends at that time because I was living in an area that was new to me. Southern California. I'm not from there. So, and folks aren't going out of their way to make friends with someone who lives in a vehicle.
So, I wonder why.
Yeah. And so what I did was I began reading in a bookstore, the old cliche, you know, to stay warm, I went in a bookstore. But for me, that was actually true, or I went in a library. And for me, that was true. And I found this little place in Hermosa Beach, I believe it was. And I started reading psychology books and positive thinking books. And I had already done some of that, but I really had all kinds of time now.
Yeah.
And I began studying it in earnest. And I came across a book called Super Learning and another one called The Greatest Salesman in the World by
Og Mandino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
Og was an old friend.
An incredible person, and he really had it right. He knew that you had to program your mind, and he knew that, and he taught that you had to do it morning, noon, and night if you wanted to get out the best performance in yourself and feel the emotions that you want to feel. You had to put those thoughts in. And so what I did was I took the method identified and pointed out in Super Learning, the suggestopedic method discovered by Georgi Lozanov, messed with the 60-beat music, and I said, wow, if I could just read all the books and find the actions, the thoughts, and the emotions, any place in any of these books where I could identify something to do, a way to feel, or a way to think, or a positive attitude, I turn it into an affirmation, record it over some music, and then when it was done, and this was a theory, I didn't know if this was going to work or not, I had learned that you could learn language real fast and learn factual information quickly, and using this method it would actually stick in your mind so you could remember it even months and years later. But I didn't know if I could learn the attitudes and the beliefs and the actions, the self-commands really, of people who were the type of people that I wanted to be like. And so I did it anyhow. I really had nothing else going for me, and there was no one else waving a flag saying, hey, I want to help you out. Come here. I'll take you under my wing. Mm-hmm. So I sold my van, which paid for a plane ticket back to New York, and I borrowed a few tape players and recorded the statements that I had written, that I had identified as beliefs and attitudes and action statements, you know, that I wanted to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lived with those cassette tapes. I played them 24 hours a day. I took a job where I was sort of a kind of a half factory worker, half installer, you know, of this equipment. And I just listened to these positive statements day in, day out, all day, almost 24 hours a day. I had an auto reverse cassette deck. They don't make those anymore. There was no such a thing as a CD at that time, I don't believe.
Yeah.
And so I made the cassette.
I remember that, you know?
Yeah. It was in the olden days, John.
Yeah.
And I just played them, and suddenly it just started to take off. My life started to take off. My success, my self-worth.
Let me ask you a question there. Going back to an earlier part of this interview, you were fired from every job. You weren't fired from this one, were you?
No, actually.
So what happened here was something was working that's different.
It was the first job. I think it might have been the first job I didn't get fired from. In fact, it was a coin-operated television company, so I was putting these little coin-operated TVs together and then going out and installing them in the locations where they had been scheduled to be installed.
Mm.
And so I did that and listening to my programs, and I got the idea that I would go out and sell this service. Well, I got so good at it that almost everybody that I spoke to took these boxes and put them in their restaurants, and pretty soon they were all gone. There were no more TVs to install, and because the revenue that came in from them was so small, they didn't have any money to buy equipment to build more TVs, so I sold myself out of a job.
Well, this
so I did lose that job.
Well, but it's for different reasons. The first thing is you did all the other stuff before, and then suddenly you started reading. You got into super learning. You recorded stuff. You put things down, wrote things down, and all of a sudden you become very successful in selling that you sold yourself out of a job, which is fantastic. It shows that something that was going on there, it was later going to affect not only you, but the world from what you were doing. Go ahead, tell me more.
No, you were doing fine. You see, now it's 20 years into the future, and what we've now developed into a very refined technology, using the same technology, because I had proven to myself that it worked, using similar types of self-instructions today as I did before, but now they're much more systematically and scientifically designed. See, what we do, and I just wish, God, I wish 20 years ago or 30 years ago, I wish I didn't have to live through the pain that I did up until the time where I created the first one. Now what we do is we look at if we want to create a new program, and we're in development, there's probably 6 or 7 new programs in development right now as we speak. We look at all the case studies. We're creating programs, I think, right now for social anxiety, another one for leadership, another one for being number one, and there's a few others that'll come to me. But we look at case studies. Mm-hmm. We read dozens and dozens of published reports in journals on a particular topic. We talk with the most accomplished people. We find out and we study what their beliefs are. We find people who are not accomplished in an area, and we look at their beliefs. We find their attitudes, their actions, their emotions, their viewpoints on a lot of different areas that relate to this, to the particular topic we're creating a program for, and we compare them. We look at the 22 core mental patterns, 11 of them of the patterns, and you're familiar with this, John, releasing, letting go.
Oh, yeah.
Because all kinds of stuff is going to happen to every one of us in life. Everyone. The rich, the poor, the advantage, the disadvantage. We're all born, and we're all going to die. The old saying again, life sucks and then you die, right? Well, there's the good and there's bad in everybody's life. And it's what you do with the good and the bad that matters. Do you accept the good? Do you embrace the good? Do you expand the good in your life? Or do you just watch it go by and think that it's for somebody else? And then on the bad side, do you accept and embrace that and accept that as your reality and your life and your future and your destiny? Mm-hmm. Or do you let that go and say, no, that's for somebody else. I'm not taking that in. I'm not going to hang on to that. And we look at all these attitudes when we create a program, and there's usually over 1,000 differences. So many times it's a little less, many times it's more, but 1,000 differences in the attitude, the beliefs, the emotional patterns, and the action habit patterns of the people who are the best of the best compared to the people who are just
mediocre,
struggling.
Yeah, or
mediocre and the worst, yeah. And then what we do is we create releasing and clearing statements that put into people's minds and program into them beliefs and attitudes to say all that bad stuff. That's not. It's, you know, the old saying, when you're a kid, you know, when you give somebody an insult, what you say to me, you're rubber, I'm glue, right? What you say bounces off to me and sticks to you.
Yes.
Well, you know, what these new belief patterns and attitude patterns are like is that when the negative stuff comes at you, and it will, you know, the more that you try and the more that you strive for and the more that you achieve and accomplish in life, the more you, you know, stuff happens to you that you have to let go of.
It's,
you know, life
earth,
doesn't get...
It's called earth life.
Yeah. Well, the attitudes of the accomplished and the happy, it's just like rubber. It just bounces off. It just doesn't stick. It doesn't stay. And then because you're not glue, you're not stuck to where you are now, so you can continue on your journey. You can keep climbing, and if growing and expanding and living a very worn out phrase, a dream life. You can create a life, not necessarily a dream life where there are no problems, but a life of your dreams where when you get to a point where challenges come at you, you just look at them, laugh, and overcome them.
Yeah, because I don't think we should, although when I'm in the middle of it, people say to me, Mike, John, if you didn't have any problems, you'd be bored. And I look at them sometimes and I say, hey, bore me. I want to be bored for a while. I don't want any problems. But it remains that if there weren't any, we wouldn't be who we are. And maybe it's a part of this which brings me to the point where, yeah, Mike, there are challenges all the time. But it's not the challenges of themselves, it's what we do with them. So my question to you is, can anyone really overcome their challenges with this? What if you're old or too young or too sick or too tired or too set in your ways, or your negative programming from, like you mentioned earlier in our talk here, some people have had horrible childhoods.
unfortunately for me, that wasn't one of my challenges. Mine was great, but I know so many people where it was an abusive childhood, it was terrible poverty or hunger or self-esteem things. There's so many negative programming situations with people. What if those are too strong? What do you do then?
It's just like in school where there may be 20, 25 or 30 kids or students in a class. They all have the same teacher. They all have the same book.
Mm-hmm.
They all have the same school. Everything is the same except for what's in the minds of the student.
Yeah.
And because of that, there are students who are going to get a 98 average or even 100 average. And there's ones who are 90s and 80s and 70s. And they'll be the ones with the same book, the same teacher, the same everything, except for what's between their own two ears and maybe their home life and other stuff and their attitudes and beliefs.
That's a wonderful, wonderful analogy. It makes it so clear in that, yes, the same teacher, same classroom, same everything. What is the only different thing? What's within these kids or students? I like that, Mike. I like that example very much.
And it's true for all of us, after school and throughout our entire lives, of course, because we all have pain, emotional and physical pain, and we all have joy. And what you need to be able to do is of course, have a way to, again, to let go of the pain or not be reminded of it all the time or not think about it all the time, what isn't right or perfect or wrong, and hang on to what is right and even perfect and good, or what could be good. So the most important thing, though, is that you have the tools and you have more than one tools. I'm not saying that Think Right Now programs are the be-all and end-all of personal development products. What we do at Think Right Now is get the student ready so that when the teacher does appear, you can hang on to it and you can learn. You see, our programs are all about creating new belief patterns and attitude patterns and emotional patterns and responses to what happens to you in life so that when you go into that classroom and you have that same teacher and that same book and all the same similar experience as everyone else, you can be the 90 and the 95 and the 100 student rather than the 60 and the 50 and the 40 student. So everyone comes into this, to using our programs from different places and different levels of attitude and belief, and so it's going to take varying amounts of times. The important thing is that you start. I've seen literal miracles with people using our programs. I talk with clients, and I've hugged people, and they've just cried. They're shaking so much. I'm getting caught up in this. They're shaking. They can't believe how much they've changed from from who they used to be and what they used to be like.
Well, what it is
who they are and what they are now.
What your work seems to do for people is to draw the real person who was covered up with all those other things, which is a fantastic way to do it. This is what the best teachers do. Yeah.
And thanks for letting me compose myself there, John. I talk to people now who they say just everything about them is different. They don't get upset as easily when things happen that they don't want to happen. They don't get stopped. They don't give up. Their actions are better. They're happier people.
Hmm.
When problems happen, they let it run off like water off a duck's back. Their stress goes down. And for years, and in many of my writings, somehow this phrase always seems to make it, and I always think I'm a fan of Shakespeare. I've got all his plays and read many of them, and one quote that was attributed to Shakespeare said, "Nothing is either good or bad. but thinking makes it so.
Yeah, I've always loved that. In fact, I find a lot of life-affirming things in even some of the darker plays of Shakespeare, but nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Isn't that, that's what puts us in charge of our lives. But I know that you have time commitments here, so I want to get through with the last few questions I have for you, Mike. And this one is, yeah, how long does it take? Really, this is for the benefit of people who listen who will listen to your CDs, which I strongly suggest. And it's a question that, the question I'm going to ask you is as silly in some ways as what's the cost of a good dinner? It depends. Now, here's the question. How long does it take for these CDs to work? And please don't tell me it depends.
Well, John, for some people, they can start to feel something immediately.
Hmm.
When you hear, when you speak, and when you write the self-instructions that we provide for people, you can feel it instantly in most cases. But how long is it going to take for you to notice a change in your actions?
Mm.
That could be days. It could be weeks, and it could even be months. Sometimes, you know, people hear what they want to hear. They'll hear me say,
yeah.
they'll hear me hear my read my what I write, and they'll say, "Well, you just seem to say that everyone gets instant results with your programs." And if you read everything and you're only looking for that, that's what you'll see. But in reality, what I always say is that and our success stories come in all the time. If you remember, if you get my newsletter, if you don't, go to thinkrightnow.com and sign up for it. But if you already do, you'll notice that we put a lot of success stories in there from our clients. And many of them, in fact, almost all of them say, you know, I didn't start to notice anything for 2 weeks or a month. And many people say, I didn't notice anything. I didn't feel anything. I thought that I was one of the few. I was starting to get hopeless, and all of a sudden, boom, 2 months in, it was like the clouds parted. It was the sea opened up, and I was able to go through, and all of a sudden, I could just see the me. I could feel the me that I wanted to be. I could see the positive future that I was designed to have. It's not my destiny to be a failure. I know that now, and it took months, but what happened was is that we started. You see, John, all of our habits and all of our beliefs are actually memories, and they're memory, and they create habits. When we brush our teeth on the left-hand side to start with every day, or we always put our left foot in our pants, leg first, or if we, always do anything a certain way over and over and over, it creates patterns, it creates habits. And what those habits are is memories of how we do things. And what I've found is that no matter what you do or what you think or how you feel, it's all a habit. Everything you do is a habit and a memory. Now, the strongest imprinting is always going to win. If you start doing a thing, and this is why corporations, here's a good analogy. Corporations, big corporations, often always want to hire kids right out of college. Now, there's a pro and a con to that. The pro is, well, the con, actually, I'll start with the con, is that you have kids with no experience at all. And anyone who's been in the workforce for about 3 or 4 years after they've gotten out of college, they'll tell you that, wow, you know, when I got out of college, I didn't know anything. I busted my butt for 4 years to study to get good grades and to learn what they were teaching me, and yet I realized I don't know anything. And I didn't realize that until I got out into the working world where I'm doing actually what I was trained to do in college, but I still didn't know anything.
Absolutely.
Corporations, they often want to still, though, hire these people that are right out of college who, you know, they wouldn't admit this when they first get out of college, but after a few years they say, I don't know anything. They will admit that they don't, and yet the corporations hire them. Why is that? Because they don't have any bad habits yet.
Yeah.
They don't have any bad beliefs. They're coming in fresh and green, and they can be molded and shaped.
Instead of unlearning all the bad ones, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, in the sales profession, I remember just recently there was, we get a lot of these, so I can't say recently, but people will call, and I'll talk with them, or they'll send emails in, and they'll say, I've been in the sales world for 20 years, and I've always been a mediocre performer, and once I started using a couple of your programs, all of a sudden all these walls started to come down, I started to get motivated, and for 20 years I was a mediocre or poor performer, and now I'm leading my company, or I'm leading my office, you know, and then they just continue to grow and grow and grow, because many of the instructions on our programs are that you do not accept just pretty good. The statements on there are the most pure, powerful words that we possibly could find, and they're all filled with growth and acceptance of the growth and joy in the growth, where a lot of people that you talk to and that I talk to and that everyone listening to this talks to, everyone will find a level that they're comfortable with, and then once they get there, that's it. There's no more. And they don't want to grow anymore. Why? Because if I were to grow and if I were to try to do more, be more, have more, it would create stress and anxiety and fear. And I'm not ready for that. I'm happy where I am now.
You know, this is really, really wonderful, Mike. And I could continue this for hours because it is so what I call life-affirming. What you're doing is you're bringing into people's lives something that's so important, which in my experience out there, without it, life becomes really tough. And it's hope you're saying to them that they can do it. But beyond that, you're doing what most people don't do. You're showing them how you're taking them in this in your CDs. And as you know, I have a set of those. And what you have said there is really, really wonderful, and most people should actually get these CDs. I don't think anyone can lose by doing that. How can they get these CDs?
Well, the one place that they're available is on our website. That's thinkrightnow.com.
That's thinkrightnow.com. Okay.
That's correct. And what I would suggest that anyone who wants to start making rapid, massive, radical, positive change in their life, get over there as soon as you can. ThinkRightNow.com. And before you actually do a trial or take a trial order on anything, definitely get the Life Transformation Kit. Now, obviously, I think this is part of this interview. We're probably going to make this part of that kit. So if you're listening to this, you're already subscribed. But what I would do is tell all your friends about it as well, because they can definitely win. Now, we have a couple of specials, and I think we're just going to be continuing to do this. Right now, we always have a buy three, get one free special, so that makes it special. But just recently, what we've done is decided, because John, you know, what you and I are talking about now by many people is considered voodoo.
it's considered
just smoke and mirrors. You can't change my thoughts by listening to some CDs with affirmation type statements on them and writing them down and reading them. That can't work. I've got real problems. You're talking about toys here, you know, and who are you kidding? Well, after literally, John, thousands and thousands of success stories coming in, I have no doubt anymore. It's 7 years ago when I started this research company to begin researching the thoughts and the beliefs and to see if I was just a fluke, we started to create some programs, and pretty quickly we learned that it's not a fluke, that these patterns, this way of learning success-oriented actions and getting ourselves to be able to take them and emotions was real. It was the way to do it. So 7 years later, and thousands of success stories later, I decided recently that we would take no money up front. Right now, every order that people place with us on thinkrightnow.com is a trial order. We won't charge anybody's credit card for 14 days. Maybe that'll go up to even a longer amount, maybe up to 21 or 30 days, but right now we're at 14 days. We won't take any money. If people send us a check, we'll send them their programs. We won't even charge their, or we won't even cash their check for 14 days.
This is amazing. What this is showing me here is you believe so much in your program, in what you've done, and these CDs, and they are fantastic, by the way, that you are willing to do this to help as many people out there. And I want to commend you for that, Mike. This is a marvelous thing. And if you, the more people you could get to listen to this and do it. Now, we all have to realize that you'll never get everybody to do it. I have people who, it's funny for me, the way people think at times. And this is what you've been doing, dealing with the thoughts, the power of thoughts, and so forth. One person the other day wrote and unsubscribed to my newsletter because he was very annoyed, and I always enjoy these, and I'm sure you get them once in a while. I do every once in a while, and this one was so funny. He unsubscribed because somewhere he read that I ate chicken. Now, because I eat chicken, he thought that a spiritually aware or advanced being would never eat chicken. And I said, well, I've got a long ways to go because I like this stuff. So you will find that there will be one or two or three people who may not like this, and that's okay. But what you have here, if people would only take a chance on themselves and do this. Now, I want to say something that you are totally aware of. I speak all over the world. I have a lot of stuff out there, and I people get together. They call me. They write me all the time for endorsements for everything. Not for chicken, of course, but for everything else. And this, you never asked me for this, but I want to do this. I want to say that this is an unsolicited, personal John Harry Turan endorsement of your work. I've met a lot of people in this business, a lot of people who do these things, and I want to say that your work is really, really way up there. It's simple. Because sometimes people make things so difficult that the student gives up way ahead of time. And I believe, like Einstein once said, that everything should be made as simple as possible and not one bit simpler. So my ramblings are these. If anyone listens to this and it goes, and that person goes ahead and gets these things, he or she would have given himself or herself a fantastic advantage, because these are simple things to do. They don't take all your time. They are not, they're not voodoo, but they are magical in the way they are explained. And we are a magical type of being, because we can get real sad, we could get happy, we could do different things, and we imagine and we think. And what I think your work does here, it gives the person a tool, Mike, a very, very powerful tool to change the things that they don't like in their lives and to enhance the ones that they love. Now, it is not the fault of the teacher if the student does not use the tool. So I would suggest to anyone to go ahead and get this thing, especially since you don't, you say you aren't even charging them postage for it?
Small shipping charge.
Okay,
shipping,
so there's yes, or else everybody would want it for nothing, which is a bad thing too, because when you get something for nothing, it doesn't have that value anymore. But for a small shipping charge and no other charges for a couple of weeks, at least try it. This is what I'm saying to people who might be listening to this, Mike. And I want to thank you for this discussion we've had. and for the things you've pointed out here to people. I don't know if you have any last words for them, and then we will let this go.
Well, only that thank you, John Harichiran, for putting this together. I always enjoy talking with you. And I know that everyone else has their own unique purpose that they were born to do. And I guess it is my purpose to help other people find and live their purpose.
And you're doing a fantastic job of it, Mike. And all I could say is keep it up and just keep doing it. You never know where you touch a life and it changes the world. Imagine the third grade teacher who taught a little boy called Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, and she would yell at him or think that he, you know, maybe with a little encouragement he would make something of himself and maybe even be a successful businessman. He went on to light a candle that was shining all over the world. Imagine a teacher of an Abraham Lincoln or of a Martin Luther King, whom I was privileged to meet at one point. Imagine, you never know where your work will go, and I want to wish you the best with all of this, and better yet, I want to say to anyone who gets this package or this kit and hears these words to go ahead and get your CD, and if they don't like them, they don't have to worry about it. But at least they would have given themselves a chance and tried it.